not the palace and the treasure and perfect treasure. It is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad palaces. Now we can see and hear. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Siddha Buddha, Siddha Dharma, Siddha Sangha. When we think of the precepts, and look at the precepts, we tend to think in terms of things not to do, what not to do, and by implication, things to do, what to do. The precepts, however, are also about the way in which we do the things that we do. And it's in this area that there's often more room for confusion. The purpose of religion is to help us live our life from the center of our being, so that with time we come to realize right down to the center of our being that in fact this is not our life but the life of Buddha. The life of the eternal. This longing and this need to live from the center of our being illuminates both the meaning of the precepts at the level of what to do and what not to do, and also the meaning of the precepts at the level of the way in which we do what we do. This is where becoming a good listener and a good asker is so important. Not assuming things and charging down either an old habitual line of action or a line of action which is a reaction against an old habitual line of action, and it's just flipping into the opposite. This is why meditation is so important. If one wants to really live from the center of one's being. Meditation is a constant listening, constant spiritual listening to the heart. The effort of meditation is the effort to align ourselves with our true nature, with our heart. And this is going to deeply influence what we do and the way in which we do it. Although the what we do And what we don't do can be difficult enough. The way in which we do what we do is far more difficult. Often we focus on, was this particular thing the right thing to do, or is it not the right thing to do? And often people even get obsessed with, which direction they should be going, not considering that it may not matter as much as they think which direction they go. What may really matter is the way in which they go in whatever direction they go. So if one reflects on this a bit, we can see how we can, theoretically at least, be people who keep the precepts in a very literal way at one level, and we're all out of whack at another level. And this is why contemplative morality goes so much deeper than what the world normally thinks of as morality. Leaving behind both the illusion of evil and the illusion of doing good. And going to a deeper place. The place of what is thy will? Not only what is it that is good to do, but how is it that is good to do what is good to do? It is essential, if one is meditating, to train in the precepts in this deeper way in order not to squander the merit of one's meditation. Otherwise, one gets peaceful meditation and then proceeds to go splat in daily life, the activity of daily life. You can also see from this why there's so little room for self-congratulation in this business when it's done properly. It's easy enough to keep a list of rules. It's not so easy to keep the true spirit of the precepts. When Dogen was transmitted, he asked some questions of his master. He was trying to wheedle something out of his master, trying to in some way further his understanding. And his master just said, "That's fine, but study in detail. Do not think it is easy. study in detail, do not think it is easy. The what is difficult enough at times. The how is much more difficult. It's not nearly so difficult, however, when we're not being impulsive. To be able to stop and look before we leap, to stop and ask, is this good to do? And not only is this good to do, but is it good to do in this way and at this time? Often this asking isn't so much a matter of a conscious asking, but just a matter of being willing to pause when something is niggling that we're proceeding too impulsively. To back off a couple notches. And to be still first. You'd think from the sound of it that this would slow you down a lot. In actual fact, it doesn't. In actual fact, it makes better use of our time and our effort. Because we're doing a lot less floundering and a lot less squandering of energy, and we're less scattered. We're acting more from the center of our being than from our old opinions and old emotions and old habits. It's not a method and it's not joyless. It's just very simply a deeper way to live an ordinary daily life. I've talked a lot in recent months about the fact that one doesn't really need to know very much at all to do this. That's because living from the center of one's being is so much a matter of following a deep spiritual instinct, which so often just bypasses the brain. And as often as not, it makes good use of the brain and worldly knowledge. But it comes first, and the brain and worldly knowledge come second. If there was an underlying mantra that accompanied this living from the center of one's being, it would be, I am willing. Or, it's really saying the same thing, not my will but thine. It's not a matter of getting rid of self or destroying self. You do, however, have to be able to see beyond self and put self aside in order to live in this way.